Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful for your goodness to us, for your presence in this place. And Father, we just pray that you would speak, and Lord, that you would just move in our hearts today, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage your people through your word. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. We just ask this in your name. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day again to all of our mothers who are here, and perhaps those two who are listening. We're so thankful for each of you, and we understand the sacrifice that's involved with being a mom, and it's a calling. It's a calling, a God-given responsibility, and we know that the call of a mom is not just for a period of time. As the saying goes, once a mom, always a mom. And a mom is a mom forever. And, you know, we want to recognize and honor you moms here. We love you and we appreciate you very much. And we hope you know how much you are appreciated. And when I was waiting on the Lord for the message, I felt to share on a mother's comfort, a mother's comfort. And there's something so wonderful about a mother's comfort, her words, her love. They bring such comfort into our hearts. And I was thinking over my life and the comfort my mom brought to me when I was sick or when I was discouraged. Or, you know, I remember one time I was just sick. I mean, it was nothing major. It was just a flu or something. And she came home with balloons and flowers. And I mean, those of you who know my mom, that's still my mom. But, you know, she just wanted to comfort me. I remember another time we went out to get, I had to get my hair cut. And they cut off a lot more than I was expecting. And my mom could tell I was about to cry. And my mom said to me, she's like, Sarah, just put your earrings on and your lipstick. You're going to be okay. And you know what? It's so funny. That was so practical. But there was something comforting about it. I'm like, yep, it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. But you know, there's just something wonderful about the comfort of a mom. And in 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, our God is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all mercies and the God of all comfort. I'll show that verse a little later. You know, he's our wonderful Heavenly Father who wants to comfort his children. But God, having created not only man, but also woman, says this in Isaiah 66 and verse 13. He says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isn't that something that the Lord says that? The Father says that even as a mother comforts, I will comfort you. And there's something different about a mother's comfort than a father's comfort. You know, if a little one falls, a dad will pick him up and dust him off and say, you know, keep going. Where a mom will, she'll get down on her knees and hug them and make sure, do you have a scrape? Do you need a Band-Aid? You know, a mom is very close and comforting. And it's like she enters in to the suffering of her children. She enters in to the pain and she can identify with the pain of of their situation, of what their child is facing. And this is something that we need to recognize in our Heavenly Father that he's not a God who's afar off, but he's a God who's near and who cares and who comforts his children. You know, and even with my mom, I remember when I was going to be facing surgery, and even though she wasn't well mentally, I remember she started weeping and she said, I don't want you to go through suffering. You know, but that's the heart of a mom. You know, they enter into what you're going through. And that's the heart of our Heavenly Father. And this is the comfort God is saying he will give, the comfort of a mother to her children. And it's a comfort, as I said, that's near. And this truth is part of the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5:4, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this word comforted in the Greek means to draw near. And in our times of mourning, the comfort we receive is that God draws near. You know, isn't that beautiful? God draws near. And some of the most precious times I've experienced with the Lord are in those times when I've gone through sorrow and he's drawn near and he's been so close. You know, the Lord will never take you where he's not willing to walk with you and where he has never been. The Lord is with you. And David understood this comfort. He experienced it in his own life in Psalm 23:4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And the valley of death can come in many forms. It can be physical, you know, sickness, things we're facing, a place of uncertainty where it's just dark and we don't know what's ahead of us. It can also be loss, you know, of losing those that we love. But here in this place, there's comfort because the Lord is near. And David experienced that. He said, "Lord, you're with me and you're in control and you're going to guide me through and you're going to preserve me." And this ministry of comfort, we see it in each part of the Godhead. We just mentioned that the Father is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. But Jesus also, he's our high priest. He's our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." And so here we see this aspect of Jesus, this aspect of comfort. He's our high priest. He's experienced what we've experienced. And here, you know, it says he can be touched. He feels our infirmities. And that's an aspect of a motherly comfort. He sympathizes. He has compassion. He understands our sorrows and our struggles and our trials. And there's a comfort in that, in knowing someone understands. Someone understands. And this is why we can come to him for mercy and grace in times of need. And, you know, even when Jesus was facing the cross and he was looking over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, how I would have gathered thee as chicks under my wings." You know, that was the heart of a mother, of a father, "How I would have gathered you, but you would not." But for those who would, for those who seek him, how much more will he come and gather you and draw you close and comfort you? And so we see that in the life of the Father and the Son, but also in the Holy Spirit, because what is his name? In John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, who is a comforter. And isn't it interesting? Jesus is recognizing they've had a comforter, but another one shall come, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit walks with us. He encourages us. He strengthens us. And he helps us to fulfill God's will. But he's a comforter. So we see the comfort flows, this ministry flows through each part of the Godhead. And that's because it flows from the Father. It flows first from him, and then it flows down to each part. He is the God of all comfort. And God wants to bring comfort to his people. The comfort of a mother, a comfort that draws near. In Isaiah 40, in verses 1 and part of verse 2, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, these words were given after a time of great warfare for Israel. And, you know, the temple had been desecrated, but at this time, you know, it had been cleansed, but there wasn't still a real sense of the presence of the Lord or of the moving of the Lord. And they were under the Roman yoke. But yet here God's saying, comfort, comfort my people. You know, some of us might feel we're in that place. We're in that same situation where we're just waiting for God to do something and it feels dry. And we've gone through many difficult things. And we might say, I need that comfort. I need that comfort. And we understand the spiritual life to be prepared, that we need to pass through bitter experiences, but also sweet experiences. We see that in the life of Esther, who is prepared to be queen. She passed through bitter and sweet experiences. And mourning has a divine purpose in our lives. Isaiah 61:3 tells us that mourning is a part of what transforms us into a tree of righteousness. It's a part of the process, but it's not the end of the process. We cannot live in bitterness all our days, or there's a danger of becoming bitter. We can bear a certain amount of darkness, but if we stay too long, you know, that darkness can come into us and we can't manifest the light. And so I want us to understand there's a balance. In our Christian experience, yes, difficult experiences are needed. Suffering is essential, but we don't suffer forever. We don't sit in darkness forever. We don't mourn forever. We don't sit in bitterness forever. We can't stay in the pit forever. There must come a time when there is a release and we come into the blessing and we come into the sweet. And this is what the Lord has been putting on my heart. You know, there's a beginning, but there's also an end. There's a beginning and the end. And we see this even in the names of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Even King Solomon said too that there's a beginning and an end to everything under the sun. There's a season, there's a time. The season of weeping doesn't last forever. The seasons of hardship don't last forever. There's a time to pull down, but there's also a time to build. And so we want to understand there's a beginning and there's an end. In Isaiah 28 and verse 28, it says, bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. You know, here again, we see this, that the farmer doesn't crush the corn forever. It's a part of the process, but it's not the end of the process. Because if he did, there would be nothing left. You know, the corn goes through one process so that it can pass through another process. All that God does for us is for a purpose. And there's a purpose in each process. But there's a beginning and then there's an end. And sometimes we might feel like that little corn, you know, that's being smitten, that's being bitten, being beaten, being bruised because of the situations we're passing through. And maybe those wounds aren't physical. We can be cast down. We can be wounded in our spirit, broken in our hearts. But we serve a God of comfort, a God who binds up our spirits and heals our broken hearts. He's the one that lifts us out of the pit and puts a new song in our hearts. You know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, there was a man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was just minding his business. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just walking. And all of a sudden, these robbers came in. And they beat him and they stole everything and they left him. They left him for dead on the road. And, you know, we know this parable. A Levite came by and he didn't even want to be near him. He crossed over to the other side. And a priest likewise saw him but did nothing. But then a Samaritan man saw him and had compassion. And what was the first thing he did? Said he poured in the oil and the wine. He began to minister to his wounds. And the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit and the peace of God. And wine speaks of the joy of the Spirit. And so in a sense, you could say this good Samaritan was pouring in peace and joy into the spirit of this man who was on his journey, who had passed through an experience where he was beaten and he was wounded. But the Lord sent someone, his son, to go and to minister to this man so that he could rest and be healed and continue on his journey. And this is a beautiful picture of Christ. Christ is that good man. He is that good man. And you know, we're on our journey and God ordains things, sometimes difficult experiences, but he doesn't leave us there like the Levite. He doesn't leave us there like the priest. He's like that Samaritan who comes and ministers his comfort, who pours in his peace, who pours in the wine, the joy of the Lord. You know, and it could be that today we are those that need that ministry of comfort. Not only does the Lord minister his oil and wine, but there's another aspect of comfort that we see in Isaiah 61 and verse 7. The Lord says, for your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them. And another area where we can receive comfort is in the effect of our trials, because sometimes we go through things and it can cause us to be ashamed and confused. Here the Lord is saying that he's going to give double for our shame and a portion for our confusion. You know, sometimes the sorrows we go through, we just don't understand them. And it can be hard for us even to face people because we're going through something we didn't expect and it's hard. And so there's a shame or a reproach we can carry for that, even though God is in the midst of it. And here the Lord is saying he wants to minister even to those things of our shame and our confusion. Sometimes we can stand there and say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening. You know, what have I done? But what did that traveler do to deserve that? Nothing. It was a part of the journey. And so here we see the Lord wants to come and even cleanse away the shame and the confusion and to give us double and to give us a portion. You know, Sister Bailey had a vision that I'm sure many of you heard, but in the vision she had this rubber ball and she was in a river and she would push the ball down and then she let it go and it would bob back up. But in the vision, she did it several times and she kept pushing it deeper. And when it would come deeper, it would go higher. And then she pushed it down deeper. And then when she let it go, it came even higher. And the Lord was speaking to her that to the depth we will go down, to that same amount, you know, we will rise up. And it's like it's double because you rise up to the surface, but then you go higher. It's a double portion. You see, it's a double portion. And this is what it means. You know, we feel the heaviness in those seasons of sorrow. We feel the pressure of those experiences that they bring. And we feel that, like that pressure on that ball being pushed down. And yet when the release comes, we will be released and there will be double. There will be double. You know, it's almost like I think about, you know, runners, they run with weights, right? And then when it comes time to run their race, those weights are gone. And oh, they feel that freedom to run because they're not carrying that weight. And I wonder, when God removes the weights we're carrying, how we will run, how we will run. And God's preparing us for that day. It's all for a purpose. And so that we can run faster, so that we can receive double. You know, sometimes we can think, well, these things will there will be a release in heaven and we'll see a release in heaven. But you know, the word of God shows us that he wants to bring a release here on this earth. He wants to bring blessing to you here. He wants to fulfill promises to you here. You know, Abraham didn't see the fullness, but he did see his son. He did see a portion of that promise. And so we can't get in that mindset either. Well, it'll happen someday. No, we shall see it here. We shall have a portion here. And that is part of the comfort that God wants to bring. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." This phrase, God of all comfort, it has the thought of multifaceted comfort, that there's different types of comfort, but he comforts in all. It's similar to Peter's illustration of manifold grace. And if you remember, he says about the manifold grace of God that there's a hue of grace for every trial. There's a matching color of grace for every trial we pass through. But you know, the same is true for comfort. There's a matching hue of comfort for each sorrow we pass through. And we all have different sorrows. We cannot comfort one as we would someone else. Everyone's going through different things. But there is a specific hue for each sorrow, a specific hue of comfort. And you know, our Heavenly Father possesses every hue. He's the God of all comfort. I think that's so beautiful. It doesn't matter what we go through. He has the perfect comfort that we need. In Psalm 71, verses 20 through 21, David says something. Now, David is a man who passed through many different experiences, and he experienced the comfort of God. And this is what he said in Psalm 71, verses 20 through 21. It says, "Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." And comfort me on every side. You know, David passed through troubles, but he said, "Lord, you are going to raise me up. You are going to quicken me again, and I'm going to know your comfort surrounding me on every side. And that is the heart of our Father. Those troubles don't last forever. There is a time for release, and God will comfort us on every side. And there's something really precious about receiving comfort. You know, sometimes we might feel like we've gone from one thing to another thing of difficulties, of sorrows, of things happening in our lives. And we might say, Lord, why? Why is this so intense? Well, here's an answer. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we also ourselves are comforted of God. You know, there's a purpose. Why do we go through so many things? It's so that we can experience his comfort, and then we can comfort others. And it says, in any trouble. You know, we want to learn and receive these many hues of comfort. We want that work of the Father done in our lives. And this is a part of becoming a father and a mother, a spiritual father and mother. It's to meet the God of comfort in these situations so that we can obtain that hue of comfort, and then we can minister it to others because we understand and we've been through it and we've obtained something. It's not just going through it, you understand. We obtain through it. We meet with God. You know, some people go through things and they won't receive comfort. They won't receive consolation, but then there's no change. There's nothing obtained. But there's a purpose when we pass through these things so that we can meet the Comforter and that we can understand the heart of our Father, that we can experience that hue of comfort and we can share it with others. You know, I think of Deborah. You know, Deborah is on the first woman mentioned in Scripture who is a mother in Israel. And she had a unique ministry for a woman as a judge in Israel, but here this woman, she had the word of the Lord. She had the word of the Lord and that they were to go out and to face Sisera's armies. And she declared it, but you know, Barak was still, he's like, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. You know, there was a comfort she brought, a strength that she brought because she had the word of the Lord. And so she did, you know, she was a spiritual mother and she went with them. And again, she declared the word of the Lord to go forward into battle. And God was with them. In fact, the armies of heaven fought with them and they defeated the enemy completely. But you see that comfort. You know, she brought strength and comfort to others. And we see that in Scripture. We want to experience it in our own lives so we can give it to others. And before concluding this message, I wanted to mention one last point, which is God's desire to comfort Zion. I was quickened with a few verses from Isaiah 51 that I wanted to share with you. Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." And you know, it says here, those who follow after righteousness, those who seek the Lord. You know, those who seek the Lord, who want to please him, they experience times of loneliness. They experience times of difficulty. You know, where and you might be surrounded by people, but you're going through something that other people just don't understand. And it can feel very lonely. Even having a small church, many of our churches are small. It's a lonely walk. Because there's not many who are walking with us. You know, and this was true of Abraham. He was called out alone. He was called alone with his wife. But the Lord said, I will multiply you. And, you know, we look to our spiritual father, Pastor Bailey. He had a lonely walk. And Sister Bailey. But they had promises. And we believe those promises. We've been persuaded by those promises. And the Lord's saying, look to them. Remember them, because what he spoke to him will come to pass. Those promises will come to pass. God will bring promises, the promises to pass in Zion. And so the Lord's encouraging us, look back and see where I've brought you from. Look back and see what I've done in your life. Remember how I've redeemed you, how I've brought you out, how I've called you, how I've birthed into your heart a vision. Remember what I've done. We don't want to let those things go. Sometimes when you go through difficulty for so long, you can forget those things. But let us not forget. Let's heed the admonition of the Lord. Yes, I will look. I will remember. I will remember our spiritual father. I will remember the promises that he gave. I will remember what you've done in my life. I'll remember where you've brought me from. I'll remember how you birthed that vision in my heart. And I will walk in it, and I will be persuaded of the promises that you've spoken, because they will come to pass. And so this strengthens us to keep going and to follow him until the release comes. And then later on in that, or the next verse, it says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. This is Isaiah 51:3. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, here the Lord is, he's speaking to those inhabitants of spiritual of Mount Zion, those who wholly follow the Lord. You know, they've passed through the desert and the wilderness. They shall know the restoring power of God. They will know the God of all comfort. And those waste places will become a garden. And joy and gladness will be their eternal portion. And they'll be a thankful people because they'll remember what God has done. You know, these are our promises. Things will change. The turning will come. I remember years ago, my husband and I, we were in England and we went over to Wales, to Swansea actually. And we got there early. We were going out by the seaside. And when we got there, I remember we crossed this little stone bridge and we're looking out and there was no water to be seen. And there were just a couple of boats on the seabed, just full of stones. And it was such a curious sight. And this man came over to us and he said, oh, he said, you wait, the tide will turn and this whole area will fill up with water. Well, it was almost hard to believe because as far as we could see, it was just rocks and dirt and dry. I mean, it didn't even look like water had been there any time recently. It was so dry. Sure enough, by the time we left, we looked out and the whole area was just filled with water to the brim. Looked completely different. And that was in a day. That was in a day. And you know, we never forgot that because we were thinking, you know, those little boats couldn't do anything until the water came in. Just sitting and waiting with that promise and that hope. The tide will turn. The tide will turn. You know, there is a turning that's going to come because that's who our God is. He is a God of comfort. And the comfort comes completely in the time, in the turning. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know, we go through the heaviness, we go through the sorrow, but there is a time for a release, a time for beauty, for joy and praise. And the Lord wants to bring that comfort. He wants to speak those words that will release us from our prisons, that will bring light into our darkness, that will bring joy into our grief, that will bring a garment of praise for that heaviness that we've been carrying. You know, he is the light of the world and his light overcomes the darkness. And so we want to look toward and believe, you know, in that turning. We looked earlier at, I want to look at one more verse. We looked earlier at Isaiah 61 and verse 7, where the Lord said, he will give double for their shame and an everlasting joy for their confusion. He also says this in verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And here, you know, we see the response of that turning is that there will be great joy. We will rejoice. We will be joyful in our God, and he will clothe us with the garments of salvation. We might think, well, that's when we're born again. We're clothed with salvation. But how many times do we need to be saved from the oppression of the enemy? How many times do we need that garment of salvation? It's a thought that it's not something that's just in the past, but it's something present, something we're continually clothed with. Oh, Lord, clothe me with thy salvation. Deliver me from the oppression of the enemy that would come against my mind, that would come against me, that would want me to give up. But the Lord wants to cover us with salvation, and he wants to give us joy and comfort. He is the God who delivers us. So today, you know, Mother's Day, there's something so special about the comfort of a mother. And reflects an aspect of the Father's heart toward his people. A comfort that's near, that's close, that identifies, that understands our sorrows and our struggles. And you know, God wants to comfort us. He wants to bring a turning for us. He wants to pour in the oil and the wine. And maybe some of you, you need that. You need that peace and that joy. You need a release. You need light. You need the God of all comfort to come and to comfort you on every side. So in closing, I just want to ask Daniel to come and to pray and also to bless our mothers and to pray that God would minister to our needs and be the God of all comfort. Amen.